Hi friends, in chapter 10 we are going to talk about merchandise handling and performance evaluation. A brief look at the learning objectives of this chapter. We will talk about the process of receiving and handling merchandise. We will also talk about methods of marking the merchandise, process of stocking and allocating merchandise to stores, the methods of evaluating merchandise performance, the concept and importance of GMROI, and the tools available for merchandise planning and allocation. Let's start with the merchandise handling process. This process deals with the physical handling and processing of all incoming merchandise. Let us understand how the merchandise flows. The manufacturer will ship or transport the merchandise to the retailer's store or a warehouse, which is also called a distribution center or a DC. So today in this chapter, we are going to talk about how the merchandise is dealt with or handled when it reaches either the store directly or is routed to the warehouse or distribution center where it is stored till the time it is dispatched to the retailer's store. Receiving merchandise is the actual physical receipt of merchandise from the supplier's transporter or an agent. Let us understand different modes of receiving the merchandise. The first one is direct store delivery or the DSD. As the name suggests, it is direct receipt of the merchandise or products into the individual stores, therefore the term direct store. This method is usually used for moving high bulk, high turnover and perishable merchandise from the manufacturer directly into the various stores of that retailer. It is a fast method, therefore it can be used and is suitable for perishable merchandise. This method is appropriate for EDI. EDI is electronic data interchange. So wherever the retailer is using a lot of IT or technology to keep track of the merchandise flowing in and out of his store, this method of direct store delivery is extremely appropriate. The next method is distribution center or DC delivery. The merchandise here does not go directly to the individual stores. The merchandise is first received in the retailer's warehouse or DC, where it is sorted, inspected, and then shipped to the individual stores. The storage time within the distribution center depends on the distribution plan versus real-time sales data. So how much is actually selling in the store, that is your real-time sales data, versus the distribution plan. So obviously the distribution plans can be changed or modified based on what is actually selling. So if the store is able to sell more, they will dispatch faster than the distribution plan. If the store is unfortunately selling less in a certain product category, the distribution center will dispatch smaller or lesser order quantities to the main individual stores. This method allows the retailers to change the allocation plans based on the actual sales that are happening. While in the previous method of direct store delivery, the retailer may not be able to change the allocation or distribution plans greatly because they have already given instructions to ship the merchandise directly to the individual stores. Cross-docking is another method of receiving merchandise. It is moving the merchandise directly to shipping without spending any time in the storage area or the warehouse area. The distribution center therefore acts only as an area of sorting the product and not as an area of storing the product. Let us now go on to discuss the process of checking merchandise when it is received either in the warehouse or in the store. We start by inspecting the merchandise. After that, we verify the shipments. Then logging the shipments takes place, followed by checking the merchandise, after which the invoices are checked, quantity of the merchandise is checked, and followed by quality check. Each of these steps are extremely important and have to be followed at the warehouse or the store. Let us discuss them in detail. Merchandise received must be checked for completeness and condition. The invoices have to be reviewed for accuracy so that payments are released to the suppliers accordingly. Inspecting merchandise. Now, what is that? Inspecting merchandise is a visual inspection of the exterior of each package to ensure that the product or the package has not been damaged. Logging each shipment to facilitate and organize the process of incoming shipments. Each warehouse or each store has many shipments coming in every day, and there are a lot of sales, so there is a lot of movement of the goods. The store or the warehouse has to keep a track of each shipment, otherwise they will not know what came in and when or how much quantity was received. Therefore, a receiving number is assigned to each shipment against which quantities are written. The next step is checking merchandise. This means you have to determine if the supplier has shipped what the retailer had ordered. Each carton is opened, the merchandise is taken out and examined thoroughly. This method gives the retailer an idea of the condition of the goods. Are they broken? Were they damaged in shipping? The next step of checking merchandise is checking the invoice by comparing it against the purchase order. The invoice gives all details of the merchandise that is shipped by the supplier to the retailer. For example, the total quantity shipped, the assortment, which is your size color breakdowns, the price, the dates, even packaging of the quantity in each carton. Therefore, checking the invoice is extremely crucial. Based on the invoice, the payments would be made to the supplier. Checking quantity of the merchandise, unpacking the merchandise packages and physically checking the contents against the packing list of that shipment. The packing list is another very important document, just like the invoice. It gives details of the quantity, the size color ratios packed in each individual carton. The packing list should be compared against the purchase order issued by the retailer. This means that the invoice, the packing list, and the purchase order should all be matching. They should say the same numbers and data. The next step is to check the quality. This is conducted by the quality assurance team in two steps. First, the merchandise is examined for any damage caused in transit. This damage is the responsibility of the courier or transporter and the insurer of the shipment. The next step, inspecting the quality of the merchandise by comparing it against the technical sheets, the specification sheets, as well as the purchase order. This means you open the product out, keep the purchase order as well as the technical sheets in front of you and compare every aspect. So, for example, it is a men's shirt. You check if the measurements are right. You visually check the garment. Is the shade matching? You look at the buttons. Are the buttons correct? Are they the right size that is specified in the technical sheet? Is the wash correct? Is the embroidery correct? Every aspect of the product has to be checked against the technical sheet. The aim is to ensure that the product distributed to the stores is of good quality. Poor quality product does not enhance the image of the retailer. The next segment is about marking the merchandise. Now, what do we understand by marking the merchandise? It consists of putting or affixing individual items with a price tag and any additional inventory related information that is required to stock, control, and sell the merchandise. So essentially, marking the merchandise means usually putting a price ticket on it. The price ticket will have a barcode on it. It will also have information which would be giving the style number, a color, the size, the quantity or the quality, or even a style name. And this may have some more information depending on the product category. This marking of the merchandise usually has to be done by the supplier before the goods reach the sales floor. The sales floor usually are not equipped to open the product, remove the packaging, put in all these price tickets or marking, and then repack the product and display it. Therefore, it makes more sense for the supplier to mark the merchandise before shipping. Let us now understand the different systems used for marking. Needless to say, the system will vary with the kind of product. Every product category may have a different marking system. The first one is source marking. Here, the retailer authorizes the manufacturer to mark the merchandise prior to shipping it to the store. Pre-tailing is the selling price of the product is finalized before it is purchased, and therefore it is recorded on the merchandise in the form of a price tag. The supplier affixes the price tag onto the merchandise so that the merchandise is floor ready when it reaches the store. The key term here is floor ready. We use the term floor ready merchandise, which is FRM. So the merchandise has to be ready to be displayed as is. The store cannot open, pack, repack, even press the product in case of apparel. Therefore, they will just pick up the product from the carton and hang it or display it as is. Therefore, merchandise needs to be floor ready. Store marking. This is a practice of marking the merchandise in the store as soon as it is received. But like we said, obviously store marking is not common and is used only in few product categories where either the price is not finalized before the shipment or in certain cases where the product cannot be marked at the supplier's end. Let us now examine various methods of marking the product. A good marking method is one that gives maximum amount of data on reading or scanning. Today, we all want data to be scanned. We don't want to read it or remember it. Okay? Marking can be done in various ways. Hand marking. This is done manually by using ink stamps, pencils, pens. This is a time-consuming and cumbersome process and definitely outdated. Today, we have many other methods, faster methods of marking. Mechanical marking uses tags or price tickets that are either printed or are punched in a machine-readable form. These tags have barcodes. So today, every product has a barcode. These barcodes contain 12-digit UPC numbers. UPC stands for Universal Product Code. So this UPC consists of black and white columns, okay, of 12 digits each. The UPC for each product is unique. And when the barcode reader reads the UPC, it can translate the information into a computer or a software that is connected to the barcode reader. The next method of marking merchandise is bulk marking. It involves placing similar merchandise with the same price in display and attaching a price tag or a card to the displayed product. So each product may not be tagged separately, but the entire display of the same product would have a price ticket or a card giving the price. The last one is electronic shelf label, or also called ESL. This concept uses small liquid crystal display labels that are attached to the shelf and not to the product, and they display different prices every time the product on the shelf is changed. So it is a flexible system where instead of marking the product, you are putting a label wherein you can change the price every time you change the product in that shelf. Let us go on to the next segment, which is stocking merchandise. This essentially means all activities that are conducted before the goods reach the store. Stocking merchandise consists of all activities associated with in-store and between-store distribution of merchandise. The main objective of planning the stocking process is to move the merchandise as close as possible to the point of selling or to the POS. This helps save time and ensures that enough stock is at hand if required in the store. Let us look at the first method of stocking merchandise. This is called in-store stocking. This policy maximizes the amount of display stock and forward stock and minimizes the amount of reserve stock. So if you see this definition of in-store stocking, there are three terms or three different types of stocks that we are referring to. We are referring to display stock, we are referring to forward stock, and we are referring to reserve stock. Obviously, we want to maximize the display stock and the forward stock. We want to minimize the reserve stock. So what is the display stock? It is placed on the various display fixtures for the consumer to examine directly. This is the stock which you want the consumer to come, see, get excited about and buy it. Forward stock is the stock used as a backup. So it is not on display, but it is very close to the display area. It is stored temporarily on the sales floor near the selling area or somewhere near the area of the store. So even though the forward stock is not on display, the purpose of having a forward stock is to convert it to display stock as and when required. The reserve stock is a backup stock held in reserve, usually in a central stock room, which is again close to the selling area. Reserve stock is converted into forward stock, and forward stock is converted into display stock as and when required. So the whole process of converting reserve stock to forward stock and forward stock to display stock has to be fast and immediately. So if a customer says, I want another piece of this product that is displayed, you should be able to supply it immediately. The next method of stocking merchandise is warehouse stocking. It is used when stocking in the store may not be feasible. Certain product categories cannot have every piece being displayed in the store. For example, you go to Croma and you want to buy a TV. So they will be displaying one piece of each brand or maybe different screen sizes. So one piece of each different screen size or different versions. Obviously, the store cannot stock a huge amount of TVs. Similarly, for any other white goods like fridge or an AC, a few pieces will be on display in the store. In such a situation, warehouse stocking makes sense. This means that the consumer is going to see the product in the store, order it, and then the consumer will be receiving a good which is dispatched directly from the warehouse stock. Cross-docking. In the cross-docking distribution method, the merchandise is received, sorted, and routed directly from receiving to shipping without going to the storage area. In contract warehousing All the warehousing and distribution activities are outsourced to a third party. So these were various methods of stocking merchandise. Let us go on to the next section, which is allocating merchandise to stores. What does it mean when we say allocating merchandise to stores? It means deciding which merchandise, how much merchandise goes to each store of that retailer. So we are saying when, how much, and at what price, what quantity. Allocating merchandise to stores properly will impact the retailer's profitability much more than the merchandise quantity. So the merchandise quantity may not be right, but if the merchandise assortment is correct, then it will be more profitable to the retailer. Making mistakes in allocating the right quantity and types of the merchandise to a store is extremely harmful. Merchandise allocation to stores involves three main decisions. First, quantity for each store. Second, type of merchandise for each store. And thirdly, time when to allocate merchandise to stores. Let us deal with each of them separately. Allocating merchandise to stores. The quantity of merchandise or the inventory level for each store is crucial. Most retailers, as we know, will classify their stores as A, B or C based on the annual sales potential and the store size. So both are obviously correlated. A C type store is one which will stock only the basic variety or assortment and is usually the smallest store. An A type retail store will carry maximum assortment and increased number of SKUs since these stores are larger and contribute the largest sales volume. The physical characteristics of the merchandise is also an extremely important deciding factor in allocation of merchandise to the stores. Like we just discussed, if the size of the product is more, the quantity that is stored, that is allocated, will be different than a product which is smaller in size. The type of merchandise for each store. The allocation of merchandise for each store will be different. Let us think of an apparel retailer. Okay. In North India, you would probably have people with a bigger build, while in East India, you have people with a smaller build. They are more petite. Obviously, the size ranges allocated to these stores of these regions will be different. Similarly, let us think of a store, of an apparel store in Delhi vis-a-vis that in Chennai. The colors used will be different because the seasons are different. In December in Delhi, we would probably be using bright colors, but in Chennai, it will be hot in December also. So the colors may not be bright. It could be a predominantly white range of apparel. Therefore, the colors would also be different. So when we say type of merchandise for each store, we are actually referring to the merchandise style, the color, size ratios and assortments. This will be different for each store. It depends on the kind of consumers frequenting the area where the store is located, their preferences, their size ratios and the color requirements. So this is what we just said, that the region or the area where the store is located will determine the type of merchandise that is allocated to that store. Time. We all know time is of essence. So time when the merchandise is allocated to the stores is also very important. Differences in seasons and consumer demand force retailers to arrange for merchandise to be shipped at the appropriate time, when the consumer is ready to buy it. Imagine getting a shipment of umbrellas in December in Mumbai. It may be of no use. Similarly, a shipment of sweaters reaching Delhi in March is of no use to the customer. So time of allocation to merchandise, of merchandise to stores is extremely crucial. Let us move on to the next section, where we will discuss evaluating the performance of merchandise. we have been talking of a scorecard of various measures of evaluating the performance of a product category, of the store, of different departments within a store. The merchandise performance is analyzed so that adjustments can be made, such as ordering more merchandise or reducing the quantity of merchandise that is ordered, reducing prices to increase sales, so which could mean markdowns, allocating different assortments to the stores, or changing the entire assortment plan itself. So depending on how the merchandise is performing or selling in the store, the retailer who gets real-time sales data will immediately make decisions to do any of these. He could increase prices, he could decrease prices. He could put it on a markdown, he could put it on a discount sale. He can increase the order quantity, which means reorder some quantity. It could mean reducing the order quantity if the product is not selling well. It may mean changing the entire assortment plan also. The different type of analysis that a retailer can undertake to evaluate the merchandise performance are sell-through analysis, ABC analysis of assortments, or multivariate analysis of vendors. We will look at each of these in detail. So, what is a sell-through analysis? As the term suggests, it provides an ongoing evaluation of the merchandise plans versus the actual sales to determine if more merchandise is required to satisfy demand or if markdowns are required. So, a sell-through analysis looks at the actual sales, what is actually selling through, and then the retailer takes decisions on how to change either the order quantity or the pricing. If actual sales are more than the planned sales, a reorder for that product needs to be made. While if the actual sales are less than the planned sales, the retailer may cancel another order of the same product category, or he may change the merchandise allocation to that particular store. The ABC analysis, also referred to as the Pareto analysis of assortments, this evaluates the performance of individual SKUs. It helps determine which SKU should be in the plan, which should not be in the plan, how much backup stock is required for each SKU. This is done, so the ABC analysis is done by rank ordering the SKUs into A, B or C categories, which means we are ranking each SKU in a category, which are A, B and C categories. And how are we ranking them? By using performance measures like sales, gross margin, gym ROI, or any other performance measure that the retailer wants to use. This ABC analysis works on the 80-20 principle. I'm sure you've all heard of this. The 80-20 principle says that 80% of the sales happens in 20% of the products. Therefore, the retailer should focus on this 20% of the products that generates 80% of the sales. Once the retailer's focus is correct, automatically his profits will increase. The last 20% of the items that are not generating profits usually will get eliminated from the assortment plan. So next season, when the retailer is ordering merchandise or planning his assortments, he will obviously remove this last 20% of the items from his assortment plan. The next method of measuring merchandise performance is the multivariate analysis of vendors. Here we are talking about evaluating the vendors, the various suppliers the retailer has. This uses a weighted average score for each vendor. The score is based on the importance of various issues or criteria and the vendor's performance on these criteria. So essentially, we are first deciding what are the criteria and then giving a weightage to each of these criteria. Let us understand the steps involved in the multivariate analysis of vendors. Firstly, we will develop a list of the issues or the criteria or parameters to be considered for decision making. So these are various criteria on which you are going to rank or evaluate your suppliers. These could be vendor reputation, it could be merchandise quality, it could be service, it could be on-time delivery, etc. The next step is to give importance of in terms of weights to each criteria. So if you have 5 criteria, you can decide that criteria A will have maximum importance of 40%, criteria C is going to have minimum importance, therefore I'm going to give it a weightage of only 5%, and so on. The next step is to make judgments of each vendor's performance on each attribute. So once you have decided your attributes or criteria and given weightages to them, then you start rating or evaluating the performance against these weightages. So essentially here we are making a scorecard of each vendor. Now we are going to combine the scores of importance and performance to arrive at a total overall rating for each vendor. So what we have done here is actually make a scorecard for each vendor, and then obviously the last 20% of vendors who are not performing well will be eliminated from the retailer's vendor list next time. Now let us go on to the concept of GMROI or GMROI as it is often called. GMROI stands for Gross Margin Returns on Investment. This is a financial ratio that combines two indicators. Since it is combining two indicators, it gives an indicator of real profitability of that product or the product category or the store or a department. Let us understand the concept of GMROI through the formulae. GMROI is equivalent to gross margin percentage multiplied by sales to stock ratio. So this is the formula. GMROI is a multiple of gross margin percent and sales to stock ratio. Now, how do we define gross margin percentage? We can do that by saying it is equal to gross margin divided by net sales. Sales to stock ratio is net sales divided by average inventory at cost. So once we have put in the formula for both of these individually, you can see that you can cross out net sales here and cross out net sales here. So what we get is gross margin divided by average inventory at cost. That is the formula for GMROI. Now let us understand what does it mean and why do we even want to calculate this. GMROI is a merchandise planning and decision making tool. It assists in identifying and evaluating whether an adequate gross margin is being earned for that product or that store. GMROI shows how diverse retailers can prosper. There are two parts to achieving high GMROI. One is the margin and the other is the turnover. Some product categories will have high margin but low turnover. Some product categories will have low margin and high turnover. Therefore, different stores or different product categories can have the same GMROI but for different reasons. In some cases, you could have a high margin with this for one store or category and a low margin for another store or category, but still both could be having the same GMROI. Therefore, this concept of GMROI helps compare performances of stores as well as categories. It's an extremely useful formula. It is a good indicator of the manager's performance also, as it focuses on factors that can be controlled by the manager. So, GMROI not only helps compare performances of different stores or product categories, but also of different managers of these different stores or departments. Therefore, interdepartmental comparisons can be made. It is a very simple plan to plan and understand this concept, and data collection is also easy because it requires basic data. Now let us understand various tools used for merchandise planning and allocation. The whole concept of selling to the consumer entails taking orders, transactions, packaging and delivery to customer. Especially today when we talk of home delivery or we talk of ordering online, the product has to be packaged properly and delivered to the customer at his premises. Therefore, we need to use a lot of technology that will help the retailer perform these tasks better, easier, faster, and also improve performance in each of these areas. Many softwares and tech exist which help the retailer in planning merchandise better, in allocating merchandise better, in managing the category better. So, let's look at some examples. We have a merchandise planning software, which is information system that interfaces billing software, merchandise planning systems, accounting, packaging, as well as supply chain management. So, you can see how many different functions of retail are included in this merchandise planning software. We have billing, we have planning, accounting, packaging, as well as supply chain management. These softwares are provided, developed by different companies and can be tailored to suit the requirements of each individual retailer or product. Then we have some forecasting software that allow retailers to analyze and forecast processes, analyze sales, past sales trends, and based on that forecast future sales trends, identify these trends and anticipate fluctuations in demand and sales. Assortment software, as the term suggests, these will help in planning the assortments that a retailer has to stock. Allocation software, this is where a software is used to allocate merchandise to stores. The software will allocate goods to the store that has the best chance of selling it. It also forecasts customer demand and uses customer demand to allocate the goods to different stores. Category management software. This helps decide space allocation on sales, inventory turnover, and other complex calculations of category management. Thank you.